just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com.
Steve, you're a really good swimmer.
Said nobody ever.
You're a fan of the water. You're a fan of being in the water.
So much so that when we bought our Disney World passes this year for $100 more, you can get access to all the water parks as well.
Yeah.
And we did not spend the $100.
We did not.
Because there was no way we were ever going to go.
Mostly because if you can't catch my heavily laid on sarcasm, Steve does not swim.
Ever.
You don't do it.
I just sink. It's what I do. Really good at sinking.
So the only way that you can enjoy the water is through film, honestly.
Completely right.
And what better film to learn to enjoy the water than 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Yeah, because if being on top of the water is not scary enough, how about being way underneath the water with the submarine?
In an effort to kind of work our way through the Disney library, we have moved on to this film. And admittedly, I'd never seen it.
Yeah, no.
So this is one of the few ones that I had zero idea what we were going into.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And yeah, we did decide that when going through the Disney credits, if there's not a rating, like a PG rating or an R rating, then we're not...
An R rating.
R. That's for only the pirate movies.
Right.
No, if there's not a rating, then maybe we won't watch them.
Yeah.
Because that means that they're just, you know...
Video releases or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And who needs to see that?
Nobody.
Which means we get to skip a whole lot of movies.
Yeah, a lot of crappy movies that people don't watch. But 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea is kind of a big deal for the Disney company.
I've heard it mentioned many, many times.
Right. It's definitely, I mean, it's, I think, out of public consciousness at this point. I don't know anybody who cites this as one of their favorite Disney movies anymore.
I mean, a few people get excited when they go to Tokyo and see the ride still running and whatnot.
Sure. Well, it's not that. Really a ride there. It's a walkthrough in Tokyo, right?
Close enough.
Sure. So it may be more popular in other parts of the world, but as far as my life is concerned, I hadn't seen it, and I didn't know anybody that had seen it.
Well, it came out 1 year before Disneyland opened, in 1954 is when it was released. And it had an epic long runtime of an hour and 20, or it was 124 minutes, which is just over 2 hours.
Ugh.
And you wouldn't think, and especially by today's standards, that that's a long time. But with the minimal amount of dialogue that goes into this show, it felt excruciating.
It did.
For us.
From, yeah,
in a 2019
I hate to say that I got bored, but I definitely got kind of bored.
Yeah.
And really, what I kind of pointed out to you even while we were watching, that it felt like kind of, if you watch some of the early CGI type films, they linger a little bit too long on their effects shots because it's supposed to be really impressive. And I feel like that's kind of what they did with 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, is they're like, look at the cool stuff we can film underwater. And instead of cutting it down so that it wasn't so grueling to watch, they just kept all of it in because it was neat that they could film it.
That is true. Opinion. That is true. And it was Disney's first live-action movie ever made. It was, right?
Was it the first one ever?
Yeah, apparently.
They did Song of the South, and that was live action and stuff.
That's a good point. Maybe because they had animation in it. Maybe because this is the first one that had no animation in it. That's what it's been called. It was the first featured-length Disney film to be distributed by Buena Vista Distribution.
Oh, okay.
And also, it was a precursor to the steampunk movement that everybody's so much a fan of right now.
It's very cool. Yeah, it's very hip-trendy.
And you love steampunk.
I love me some steampunk.
Right.
Well, and for those that aren't aware, steampunk is obviously a alternate timeline sort of thing where humanity built their power off of steam power is kind of the idea.
Or nuclear power?
Well, yeah, in this case, we went the same way, just with a different aesthetic, apparently. So, overall, I was not overly intrigued by this film, mostly because I had not seen anything of it. Outside, I think everyone has seen like a couple frames of them fighting the squid.
Right.
And that's pretty much the extent of what I had seen of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. So it's basically almost like a three-act play. Like, I feel like it's so long that it took way too long.
But with that, with the fighting of the squid that you just talked about a little bit,
yeah,
like, I felt that a lot too, that it almost kind of felt like, to me, like kind of what Jaws feels like, in a way that there's a big thing in the water that you're afraid of.
Sure.
And then you don't see it until near the end, and then it kind of attacks you. So I was like, this has a lot of the same makings as Jaws. And we recently watched that show as well, and I wasn't as big of a fan as other people, mainly because I didn't see it when it was released. And so I kind of wonder if this would have been the same thing, that it was really big and epic and scary for people, especially in 1954.
Sure.
You know, they would have loved everything about it. But in today's standards, and everything was great about it other than the pacing.
Yeah.
Right?
I'd like to say also that maybe similar to Jaws and other suspense movies, it's much easier to be engulfed in a movie theater where you have no distractions.
Yeah.
Versus watching scary movies at home is not ever really that bad. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
I have younger siblings, and
I think they're scary in both places.
Well, I had younger siblings that watched the first Alien movie. And Alien is high suspense. And you're just, you know, you're supposed to be kind of absorbed into what's going on. And after they watched it, they told me it was very boring.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, I had never thought of it as boring, but it's mostly because I was so engaged in it when I watched it.
It is true. It is a different experience for everything if you're watching it at home or in a theater.
Right.
But in a way, I'm almost over the theater watching nowadays.
Yeah.
For some reason.
So the beginning of this movie starts out with all of this hoopla about a monster attacking ships out in the ocean, right?
It does, yeah.
And that is the main conceit of the whole first act of this show, basically, is everyone going, there's a monster. No, there's not. There could be. Might there be? There might be. We should check. You know, like, it's all about this quote-unquote monster in the ocean that's sinking ships.
Right. We should say that Kirk Douglas was the star of this film, right?
Star?
Was he a star at the time?
Is he a star of this film? He was one of my least favorite characters in this film.
On the
film?
That doesn't mean he's not the star.
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Was there a star then?
No, I think it's definitely more of an ensemble piece. I think most people think Captain Nemo is the star of this movie.
Which, by the way, was very confusing for me. I was like, what? Nemo's in this? What?
We had to find him somewhere. So, yeah, Kirk Douglas, he plays, in my opinion, a very unlikable character. He's loud and obnoxious and prone to hitting people.
I'm drunk
and
all the time.
Stealing things and just being very self-serving, and just everything about him I found very unlikable.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which isn't, like you said, it's not to say that he isn't the main character, but I definitely did not like that character at all.
Right.
He seemed to punch everybody all the time.
There was a lot of punching, very action-packed 1954 movie.
Right. Well, what's interesting about it is that he actually demanded that he punch people.
Oh.
So, like...
That's rude.
when they were talking... When he originally read the script, it was a lot... It was dialogue-heavy. It was a lot of, you know, non-action-y type of stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
And he at the time fancied himself to be a very high octane action star, and so requested that a bunch of fighting scenes be put in for him. So I guess I have him to blame for that, for the random punches that he throws all the time.
Literally all the time. I'm surprised he didn't hit the seal.
Well, Esmeralda's the best part of the whole movie, but we'll get to her in a second.
Okay.
So they think that there's a monster, right? And they run into this doctor from France and his companion. and they say, we're going out to scan the ocean, basically, and try to find this monster. Yeah. And they literally, them and a bunch of other ships, apparently, are going on a grid system and going back and forth and back and forth over the same areas trying to find this monster.
Very efficient system. I love it.
Super efficient. And, of course, they don't find anything until their last night out there. They see something out in the water, try to attack it. The obnoxious guy, I don't even know the character's name. I should. Land. Ned Land. That's his name. His last name is Land, which is a weird name for a
pirate.
Yeah, like a
guy. He's not a pirate, but
he's a harpooner by trade. He goes overboard. The French guy and his companion go overboard, and they manage to find their way onto the Nautilus, the submarine.
Yep.
That is run by Captain Nemo.
Yeah.
And this is where the pacing really takes a hit for me. Again, I think it's a lot of sweeping shots of them being like, look how neat this is.
Right.
And they were in no hurry to cut away from a single shot in that entire rest of the movie.
Completely true. And I found it really funny that, like, there was one scene where there's one staircase in and out of the Nautilus, you know?
Yeah.
And they use that for every scene. Every scene has to do with that.
Because it's a good set piece.
It's a good... And boy, they got their money out of that.
They certainly did.
They filmed so much of that movie right on that set piece. But
the action itself, when they get down into the ship and everything, it feels like the actors maybe weren't sure what they were supposed to do, or the director wasn't telling them quick enough to move, because literally they're just kind of like standing around looking at things
for
very long periods of time. And I understand, again, the set dressing is neat and you want to establish the idea of the ship, but it felt like a wax museum for a while,
right,
of them just standing around.
Well, and because the scene that was shot inside, I guess, Captain Nemo's what is that room, in his
lounge
area with the organ, that's crazy cool, like an organ in a submarine. What?
And then he has like red velvet couches everywhere and stuff
with these incredibly cool windows that overlook the under ocean scenes which they shot a lot of video through that as well.
Yeah.
A lot of shots were shot through there, which I thought all of those were the ones that dragged on too long for me.
Oh, okay.
All of those that were shot out there. But the idea of that in a submarine sounds amazing.
Yeah, for like, sure.
It's pretty cool, and they use that scene a lot. A lot of those scenes.
So, Captain Nemo, after some convincing, decides that this French doctor professor guy might be the person to bring his findings to the rest of the world if they're ready for it. And that's the only reason that they're allowed to stay on the ship, right?
Yes.
Otherwise, he was fixing to drown them. I don't know.
Legitimately
so. This movie is far too long for a blow-by-blow, so I'm just giving you kind of a skeleton here.
Yeah.
So he decides that they can stay on. They find out that he lives off only things gathered from the ocean. All of the food is gathered from the ocean floor, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been living underwater because he doesn't like being under the control of other people, basically. So he's like, once you get underwater, there are no laws, there are no masters, there is no country, you know. Mm. It's just freedom underneath the ocean, basically, right?
Scary thought.
And they also find out that they have found a lot of treasure, and they just use it as ballast to keep the submarine underwater, which, of course, the guy that I dislike decides he needs to steal.
Sure.
So that's a whole B plot going on. It's just so much going on. Like, and it takes forever to say anything, you know? Those establishing shots and everything else just takes so long.
What I found interesting about the movie is that apparently it won 2 Oscars.
I'm sure it did, because nothing 2 hours long that people still like doesn't win a award of some kind.
And it would be the ones that you were talking about, best art direction and best special effects.
Sure. And that all makes sense to me.
Completely does.
because they do have a lot of very sciencey things that they kind of made up for this.
So, very Star Wars-like under the sea.
Right. And you do find out that he has a quote-unquote superpower source for his submarine, which, you know, basically equates to nuclear power.
Yeah. I even read that somewhere that there was a nuclear submarine Nautilus that went underneath something like
the polar ice caps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that he used a lot of that for the backstory of the development of it.
Okay.
In some way.
And then you also find out that the reason that Captain Nemo is the way he is he used to be a slave. And his goal is to stop this slavery thing going on. I'm not 100% sure. The story gets a little muddy there for me.
It does.
And it just turns into these people trying to convince Nemo that human life has value and not everyone's a terrible person, and Nemo basically saying, no, I've already decided everybody's a terrible person and I have to decide what I'm going to do about that.
Sure. Which is true.
Sure. I can see both have their good points.
I say it every day I'm driving. People are awful.
And that's up here on land.
Yes. Yeah. So the movie I thought was, it would have been a great 30-minute YouTube video.
Oh,
like I want to go through, and I might even do this. Find out the legality of this, and like just edit it down to like 30 minutes, because there are parts of it that I think are incredibly fun to watch.
Sure,
especially everything revolving around the submarine and a little bit of the plot points. They do make it to land, and then they get chased off land by the locals and whatnot.
Yeah, it's very Pirates of the Caribbean at that point.
Yeah.
They get to an island, and he disrupts the. Idiot guy disrupts a bunch of locals that end up chasing him down the beach. Very pirates, you know. I don't know if that was an intentional homage in Pirates of the Caribbean or not, but it's very that.
It's a good scene. They just use it over and over again for all their action movies, apparently.
Yeah.
Good for them. But then you totally worth 30 minutes on YouTube. Like, in a good way.
Yeah, I hate to say that we got bored with it and needed to jump ahead a bit. But there, it gets to the point where there's just so much conversation going on that it gets to the point where you're like, okay, I get it. Yes, I get it.
Or again, and it's not even the conversation, it's the passing glances amongst the conversation.
Yeah.
That they'll just hold on to for minutes on end, which is crazy. I thought there's a lot of ways you can listen to podcasts at 1.5 speeds.
Mm.
And I thought if there was a way to do this on my movie player, I would totally do this for this movie. Like, just kind of watch it a little bit and fast forward a little bit.
Sure. Well, and I have to say, I probably would have been okay with that.
That would have been a perfect way to watch it.
It's a fine movie. And if you have the time to sit and watch a 2-hour film that doesn't have a whole lot going on the entire time, this might be a good film for you. It could be a good thing. You do run into the action scenes where there's fighting, or they get hit so they're flooding, or the interaction with the giant squid. It has some good action pieces in it.
Uh-huh.
It's just the getting there that seems to take
forever. Well, and I thought with all of the remakes that are going on right now, like, why are we not remaking this film?
Right.
Could you imagine if they remade it with today's technology and different things?
A full steampunk 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
30,000 Leagues Under the
Ooh,
Sea.
Ooh, that's what you got to do.
30,000 Leagues It?
Or 20,001 Leagues Under the Sea.
Oh, no, we got to go full 30 on that one.
Oh, dang.
But, and apparently I'm not the only one, because in 2009, there were some discussions about doing the remake of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they talked about all about that. They were going to have Will Smith as Captain Nemo.
Oh, all right.
That's who they reportedly wanted for the role.
Okay.
And then they were thinking of trying to cast Brad Pitt as Ned. For the role.
Okay.
And he turned down the role and said he didn't want to be part of it. So
he didn't want to run around punching people and making out with seals.
So he officially turned down the role and said that he didn't want to be part of that in like 2013. So they were getting ready to pull it. That's about the time that Australia, for some reason, said that they would give $20 million if they would film in there near Australia, in the Australia area, you know?
Okay.
So then they were like, oh, we can totally make this again. With that $20 million, that covers a lot of the production budget.
Okay.
Which, by the way, this one ended up costing $9 million.
Oh.
They were supposed to be spending $5 million in in 1954, and it went so far over budget, it ended up costing $9 million.
Oh.
So maybe $20 million is enough for it. I don't know.
To be fair, you need one set.
It's true. And even that's GCI now, right?
CGI.
Oh, my goodness. whatever those letters are.
Dyslexia is a terrible disease.
But a lot of the movies are costing like $100 million to make right now, so maybe $20 million doesn't quite cover.
$20 million is a good chunk of change, though, to give somebody to say, hey, you can, we'll pay you to film here. That's pretty nice.
Right. And apparently the talks broke down because then they were going to have, like, the director really wanted to have Channing Tatum play Ned, and Disney really wanted Chris Hemsworth for the role.
Well, they already have Chris Hemsworth, so, yeah.
You can't have him in two separate characters at the same time. Why not have, you know what I mean?
Why not?
Because it gets very confusing as a viewer, I think, when they're having this epic universe going on and they have all these shows, and then all of a sudden up pops another one from the Disney universe, and it's the same person playing a different character. I think I had this exact same problem with, what was the one that came out with Johnny Depp on the train and the
Lone Ranger.
I had a really hard time trying to figure out what this was supposed to be, because I was like, now wait a minute, what?
You're not the only one that had a hard time with that one, though, because the Lone Ranger did not do well.
It didn't do well. So for me, obviously, Channing Tatum would have been a better pick for that.
He's not a great actor, in my opinion.
But that's true.
I mean, if you just have to punch people and sing a song, why not?
Right?
Right? And he does have the only song, so there you go.
So anyway, talks completely broke down and nothing was going to happen. But then in February 2016, Disney announced it was planning a live-action film called Captain Neo.
Nemo.
Jiminy Crickets, y'all. I'm never going to get that right. But
oh, I hate to keep correcting you. But yeah, Nemo.
No,
yeah.
It's important to get it right.
So overall...
Just keep swimming.
No, stop. What score would you give 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Oh, gosh. 6, 5. Maybe five.
Out of what? What is this random scale you come up with all of a sudden?
Scale from 1 to 10, oh, okay. I might give it a 5.
Because I was going to say, it's a C movie for me. Like, not amazing, but not abysmal.
And for its time, it was probably pretty good, and I liked that it was groundbreaking, and that they were, you know, going with the steampunk thing, and Disney creating a whole steampunk universe would be so awesome.
Could be really cool.
It would be incredibly fun. I would love that so much.
Yeah.
So,
but it's like I always say, I got a whale of a tale to tell you.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-fingered point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.